Seattle's Morning News. This is Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. Can one area of the country be held responsible for a problem in another area of the country? It's a question I ask because there is a lawsuit now which is going to try to hold California responsible for saving the orca population resident in Puget Sound. Let's consult our legal expert, former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. Our conversation brought to you by the Arista Point Private Group Marketplace and Terra Firma Foundation Systems. Rob, this is a lawsuit filed by the Center for Biological Diversity against the Secretary of Commerce and the National Marine Fisheries Service. And what are they demanding that the government do here?
The idea under the Endangered Species Act is you don't just seek to prevent the taking of that species through hunting or accidents or what have you. You also try to protect their critical habitat. And the southern resident orcas do have critical habitat right now. It includes Puget Sound, the waters around the San Juan Islands, and the Strait of Juan de Fuca. What the Center for Biological Diversity is arguing is that we now know that the orca spends some time off the West Coast, and they want to designate a huge swath of the West Coast. If you look at the map, it looks like the entire West Coast,
right,
as a critical habitat, which means that any activities that occur in that area, whether that's offshore, drilling or gas production, vessel traffic, military activities, all of it might have to be reviewed by the Fish and Wildlife Service to determine whether or not it's adversely affecting that habitat for the orcas.
Right. So just to put it in perspective, right now, the Puget Sound area all the way up through the San Juans is already designated as a marine sanctuary, essentially. So you have to have your septic systems checked. Ships have certain rules. This would extend that all the way down to Southern California, which could have potential economic consequences. So my question is, does the law let you do that?
It does. It does. If the science supports the designation of that area as critical habitat for the endangered species, what makes this sort of breathtaking in its scope, I mean, it may need to be to save this species, is that the southern resident orcas travel a long way. It may sound like they just hang out in Puget Sound, but it turns out they travel up and down the West Coast. And this argument is that if that's what it takes to protect them, to keep them from starving to death, to allow them to start reproducing, not be as stressed out by noise and vibration and so forth, that's what we have to do. It doesn't matter that this particular endangered species has such a big territory that it covers.
And as the Center for Biological Diversity points out, the population is now down to 75. There's inbreeding going on, and it is now in danger of extinction. Is the I know there have been attempts to try to water down the Endangered Species Act. Has that taken effect yet, or does it still say that once a species is endangered, you have to take all possible measures to save it?
Well, there's a process for listing species and delisting species, and the Trump administration has moved towards delisting more of them. But that's not an issue with these animals. The southern resident orcas are clearly critically endangered, and no one's suggesting that they be delisted. Really, the debate here is over the other part of the Endangered Species Act, which says you don't just protect the species, you also protect their habitat. If it's true that would result in restricting vessel traffic, as the Center for Biological Diversity argues, if it means restrictions on military activities, oil and gas leasing, coastal construction, hydroelectric operations, fishing, wind development, wave energy development, that's huge. And I guess I'm not surprised Fish and Wildlife, the Fisheries Service, I should say, is going slow here. But there's slow, and then there's unlawfully slow, and that's what this suit is all about.
Well, and my question is, if this concept is legally legitimate of holding one area of the country responsible for a problem that affects primarily another area of the country, could that be extended to other things? I mean, we're talking now about relaxing restrictions on air pollution so that West Virginia can burn the quote clean coal. Well, if that turns out creating a horrible haze downwind, could West Virginia be held responsible for what happens in New York?
Yes, it could. That is a possibility. The thing about pollution is that it travels, and the sources of pollution can be held accountable for damage to other parts of the country. So that can be the case. But also, this is why we have regulations, right? And this is why we have a Clean Air Act and extensive controls over pollution, precisely because we know pollution doesn't have boundaries. Whether someone can be held liable isn't really the issue here. The issue here is whether regulation should be expanded or not to further protect these animals. And here, this lawsuit against the Fisheries Service, I misspoke earlier when I referred to it as the Fish and Wildlife Service, is claiming that they have waited too long. They failed to issue proposed and final rules, and they need to do so under the law. And it looks like, to me, like the plaintiffs here have a pretty good case that they need to do something, even if Fisheries doesn't issue a revised critical habitat as large as this plaintiff wants.
Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, our conversation brought to you by the Arista Point Private Group Marketplace and Terra Firma Foundation Systems. Rob, thank you.
Thank you, Dave.